Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, 2 through the first part of 5. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she was in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure. From now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. I wasn't going to let that missing a page of the sermon was going to slow me down. I know who put you up to it. Looking around to see who feels guilty. I'm just kidding. A little girl was pushing the limits of her mom's kind of last nerve, as, you know, kids tend to do on the build-up to Christmas time. And the mom was, you know, the hectic season of cooking, cleaning, shopping, wrapping, doing stuff for church, for school. And she was nearing the breaking point with her preschooler. And finally, the little girl was bathed, ready to go to bed. And the mother kind of was, you know, taking a breath, and the girl knelt down to say her prayers, and the mom listened to this three-year-old theologian kind of customized her evening Lord's Prayer, and she said, "And forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." For most of us, Christmas is not such a peaceful time. The influence of cultural pressures has shaped the season into what's actually kind of more of a stressful time, kind of a hurried, busy time, frenzies and frazzled, worried and wondering just how all of it fits together with what we know in our hearts is the true reason for the season. After all, there are decorations to put up, trees to be trimmed, presents to figure out, crowds to deal with, parties to plan, attend, houses to clean, meals to make, goodies to bake. There are programs at school, in the community, and church. Is there any more? Am I missing anything? That's a pretty good list. And all the while, we get ready to close out another year, and the next year in a week starts again. Christmas can be crazy and busy, but what about that is peaceful? How often does someone say, "How is your holiday season?" Do we say, "Oh, it's serene"? "How are you doing on this?" "Oh, calm, you know, peaceful. Oh, it's just, couldn't be more relaxed." Where does that come from? How peaceful is our Christmas season? If we're honest, we would choose words, like I said, busy, hectic, frantic, to describe this time of year, or maybe all year for some. But what are these robbers of peace? Because in some ways, it's supposed to be a time of peace. Maybe it's an overload of schedule that robs us of our peace. Maybe it's something like relational conflict, pressures at work, changes in job, lost job, illness, and don't forget, pandemic. Right? You name it. For many of us, peace sounds like it's kind of a long, far cry away. A good idea, a nice thought for the holidays, something that we kind of long for, but if we could only feel the peace of God with us. Images of Christmas and war don't usually fit together, right, when we're thinking about Christmas time. The cold cruelty of war seems far away from the warm generosity of the holiday season, but there's a great story about in World War I, and Christmas arrived right in the middle of an intense global battle. Life in the trenches, as many know, or any historians among us know, was gruesome and brutal. New technologies, tanks, mustard gas, had advanced all these military capabilities. We were very efficiently good at killing and painfully killing each other. But against this backdrop, individuals chose peace. Early in the war, in December 1914, German and British soldiers took peace into their own hands. On Christmas Eve, they sang and played carols to each other across the divide. They destroyed no man's land, finding that they knew the same songs, even if the lyrics were in a different language. And early on Christmas Day, German soldiers walked across the scarred landscape, unarmed, shouting, "Merry Christmas," to their enemies. Did you know this? Yeah, me either. I'm making it up. No, it's real. Allied soldiers, kind of distrustful at first, crawled out of their trenches. They shook hands. They exchanged gifts of cigarettes, plum pudding. They sang Christmas carols together. History.com says there was even a documented game of soccer that they played during the ceasefire. The Christmas truce after that, though, was never repeated. The officers made sure that they would threaten them with punishments if they did that again. But on that special day, enemies placed their humanity before their grievances and experienced this Christmas spirit of peace, even in the midst of hardship. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine in the middle of war stopping and celebrating Christmas? It must have been quite a sight to see the enemy soldiers sharing Christmas peace with each other. But the thing is, we in some ways are in trenches. In some ways, we are too. Hate, evil, violence, unrest, discord surround us. In similar ways, God peace can fill us and rule within us even when we're surrounded by these hard things. God's presence and peace can pierce even the darkest dark, and the painful surrounding and all the circumstances, including war or emotional valleys we find ourselves in. Christmas is typically and rightfully thought of a season of joy, but it can be hard too. It can be a painful season. Maybe you're one of them, and maybe you're facing some battles today. What pain is relentlessly bombarding you as you hunker down in the trenches of your life? What darkness haunts you even under the twinkling lights, candles, and decorations? We may not be able to end the personal, emotional, cultural, physical wars we're fighting this holiday season, but even in the darkest places, we can lean into this Emmanuel. We can lean into God with us. Today, we continue our Advent journey towards Christmas, and we're focusing in and we're celebrating peace, the peace that is brought into our world by Emmanuel, the peace that's brought to us by God with us. My hope is for us today, we'll experience the comfort of God's peace deep in our souls. And, we can kind of turn to our attention from one field, not a battlefield, but to the field of the shepherds. As one of our readings for Christmas Eve will be about Luke chapter 2, and the shepherds are living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And there's a great company, the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace to all those with whom his favor rests." Peace in this Advent time brings wholeness to the brokenness that's within us. The message to the shepherds was one of peace, and it's the same one that we get from the prophet Micah. And he says, "And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, and they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace." Peace on earth and goodwill toward all people. What needs peace more than a hurt-filled earth with people who suffer because of the evil effects in the world? Often our lives feel fractured by the things that happen, broken into a million pieces from battle after battle. But Jesus comes and puts these pieces back together to heal and restore. That is the peace that God brings. This is the peace that he brings to our souls. Systems kind of seek to tear us apart, to steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus comes to make us whole again, forgive us, make us new. When he puts the pieces together, sometimes differently and even more beautifully than we were before. It's like me and the nitwits. I've gotten so much sermon fodder from being with the nitwits, but I have been doing some cross stitching, and it's in my office. And I was going to bring some over, but I didn't want to be all braggy about my. I didn't want to come off as that this morning, but I wanted to show you that. If you look on the one side of the piece that I'm working on, it looks good, right? Linda's nodding in the back, yeah. But you flip it over, guess what? Not so good. Jumbled mess of something, can't even tell what it is, looks awful, right? That's kind of the way that things go. But like the frazzled mess of the backside of this tapestry of sorts, God turns to reveal that he has created a masterpiece. And that's what God does with all these pieces of us. We may see only this backside of it. We may only see the stuff that doesn't look so good, but the way that God's weaving it, putting it all together, is what makes it into this beautiful masterpiece. Corrie Ten Boom has a great poem called "Life is But a Weaving." And it says, "My life is but a weaving between God and me. I cannot choose the colors he weaveth steadily. Oftentimes he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fire will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares, nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. So peace on earth means he comes to put us back together with his love. And though we don't understand what's going on or how the pieces all fit or what God's going to do with this particular thing, God is always capable of doing it. The Hebrew word for this peace is and used throughout is shalom, and it's a powerful, rich word, so much more than, like we said, the absence of fighting. Shalom reflects completeness. It reflects wholeness, not perfection, but wholeness in the way that we look at. This is the type of peace that God has brought with God with us. Jesus is the Prince of Shalom. And our leader is the one who brings the glue of love to reassemble us into the wholeness. And that's what peace looks like in this Advent season. But peace brings also quietness to the noises that kind of bombard us. Like us, I'm sure the shepherds' lives and Micah and so many others were bombarded by many noises. We always think the scene, you know, when you're thinking about Christmas Eve, you think about the scene with the shepherds are out in the field. Isn't it like a quiet, beautiful night and it's quiet? Has anybody ever been around sheep before? They are loud, right? It's like they're chaos. One's going over here. They're fighting each other. One's wandering, going, rah, rah. Like this is, I mean, if you have not spent time with sheep, it's not that, they're not peaceful unless they're sleeping. And even then it's kind of chaos. But peace brings a quietness to the noise. And this is what we find in the scripture. It is as if heaven stopped to say, hey, this is important. This is what you need to hear. God has come to earth and will be with you. And this is what we need. This is the kind of peace. Because until the noise is quieted, we'll never be able to hear the voice of God and the message that God has for our lives. Right? That's what with the shepherds. You have to say, God had to come in big and say, whoa, stop. Even sheep, quiet down. Shepherds, tune in to what I have to say. And if we don't do that with the noise that surrounds and bombards us in our culture of great amounts of noise, we won't be able to hear what God has to say. That this is the peace that God brings to us, with us, a quietness that allows us to hear the messages of heaven. If we're not allowing for the quiet of peace, then we're going to not be able to hear the good stuff and realize what's really important, even in this Advent season. But peace also brings calmness into all the calamities, all the hard things that surround us. The story of the evening when the disciples were in the boat and Jesus is in the terrible storm, and right, and they all start to freak out, and they wake up Jesus and he says, "Why are you so afraid?" The same thing with the angels, and the angels appear to the shepherds and they say, "Don't be afraid." Peace is finding ways to not be afraid. It's like Peanuts. I love this time of year, especially watching. I love Charlie Brown Christmas, right? Oh, right. So the people are like, yeah, okay, that was good. I watch it again, and there's so much great stuff. But there's one detail that I've noticed, but it really came through today. You remember Linus is the one who always carries what? He always has his little blanket. It's a security blanket, right? But it doesn't really, as I thought about it, doesn't really symbolize security. It actually kind of symbolizes insecurity, the fear of uncertainty, the fear of inadequacy. You know, I'm the one who's analyzing, you know. I'm sitting there watching with the kids and being like, what does that actually mean? For some reason, my kids don't want to watch movies with me anymore. I don't get it. But there's the scene where Linus takes the stage with his blanket and he starts to recite, "Go home and when you watch this again." And he says, "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid." And then when he gets to the part that says, "Fear not," what does he do? He drops his blanket. Wow, right? That insignificant piece of cloth representing all the things that he was worried about became really, really unnecessary in the light of God with us. And so the blanket falls to the floor. The blankets we carry aren't nearly as obvious. They're not like a stuffed animal that I have. They're not as obvious as these other things, but they are unnecessary nevertheless. The security blanket of maybe needing money or needing a drink to make it through the day or needing to build yourself up and put others down, needing to win at all costs. We carry all these different kinds of blankets that we think will shield us from the fear and from all these things and maybe give us some peace. but they can't, they never can, and they never will do. There's only one way to escape fear, and that's to drop the blanket once and for all. Decide that we'll dare to live, you know, with this, live out this peace of God with us. God's promise to be with us always. His promise to see us through even the most uncertain of moments. And the promise is worth the risk. If we find peace because we drop the blanket and embrace God's presence in our life, the peace brings calmness to the calamities that surround us. And that's why Paul in Philippians 4 can say, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, pray and petition with thanksgiving. This peace is what Jesus brought and left in our world. It's the peace that calms our souls deeply. It's the calm, that acceptance that it will be well with my soul no matter what swirls and storms around me. This is the peace that we celebrate today. And when Jesus returns, he'll bring even more broken and restored God's complete kingdom of shalom. And the last thing today is that peace brings praise. When we are not at peace, when we're broken, busy, confused, and stressed, much of what comes out of our mouths is not so positive. Much of what comes out of our mouth is even probably more hurtful, more pain, causing the opposite of peace. We lash out, we complain, we gripe, we accuse, we vent, we tear down, we attack. We speak forth with worry, dread, and fear. But with the peace of God, there's a new message, one of praise and glory, because we see that in the scriptures with the shepherds. They say, suddenly the angels all appear, and they say, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to those with whom his favor rests. And the shepherds returned at the end, glorifying God for all the things that they had seen. Nothing had changed, the Prince of Peace. Nothing had changed except the Prince of Peace had come into the world. Near the end of Jesus' life, he spoke the same thing to his disciples. He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And I don't give to you the way the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Jesus knew his followers were in a tough spot in Easter, but he had a gift that was different from anything in the world. His peace doesn't give the way that the world gives. It's not a gift that can be taken away. It's not something that we can create on our own. It's not the absence of pain, hurt, noise, violence, or uncertainty. But peace is a person. Peace is Jesus with us, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. And that assurance to his disciples, assurance to the shepherds, assurance to Micah, all are the same assurance that we have today. As we experience God's presence and all the different ways that we do that, we become interwoven, inseparable from this peace that he is and that he gives to us. God with us is peace, and peace is ours for the taking, for the keeping, and nothing can take it away from us. So let us this last week, these last few days before Christmas morning, reconnect with the source of our peace. And in doing that, know life and breathe new life and new light into our lives. Amen.